name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Lord, with
and with His Spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We celebrate today the second Sunday of Lent, and the topic for this Sunday, the main event that we can read about in our Gospel, is the Transfiguration of our Lord. As last Sunday, we were talking about all this stuff that come to us and to invite us to sin. Today, Jesus is talking to us, Gospel is talking to us about change of our life and what we really need to change. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. And Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Before I start the homily, I would like to make some announcements regarding the thing that everyone is aware of. I'm talking about coronavirus. Many people, many of our parishioners approached me and asking, Father, what we should do and what we are actually doing to not spread this coronavirus between us and our parish, between our parishioners. And the first thing, of course, the idea was to remove the possibility of receiving communion with both species. It means starting this week, we will have only body of Christ that we will receive during the communion. But also, Megan Henry sent me an email about something even more danger than sharing the same cup, about our holy water funds, and also starting this week, we removed all the holy water funds from our church and from our shrine. I know that someone definitely will complain. Not everyone will be happy with these decisions, but finally, there is no possibility to please everyone. Also, someone asked me, what about shaking hands during, for example, entrance to the church or going out or even sign of peace? I think that I can decide about the Holy Communion or funds of the holy water, but I have no possibility to say, do not shake your hands, or shake your hands.
It's up to you. Everybody has his free will and can do whatever he or she can wants to do. And my suggestion is, if you have problem with shaking hands, please share the sign of the peace, bowing your head to your neighbor in the pew, and do not expect that everyone will respond to your hands. You can shake hands with me all the time. Now to our homily about this transfiguration, or we can call this for our use, because some of us, we think that transfiguration is the word that describes the act of Jesus being transfigured there in this high mountain at the presence of his disciples, when Moses and Elijah, they were on both sides of his person. We can use for our use the word of transformation, change, because as you probably expect, the transfiguration is not only an act of Jesus showing his divinity to his disciples, but also is an invitation for us to change something, to transform, to transfigure something in our lives. And what time could be better than this time of Lent to change, to make these changes? Let me start this homily with the quoting from Father Anthony de Melo, is a Jesuit priest who wrote a lot of books. One of them is Song of the Birds. And it is about a wise old man who was meditating about his life. The wise man said, "I was a revolutionary when I was young, and all my prayer to God was, Lord, give me energy to change the world. As I approached middle age and realized that half of my life has gone without changing a single soul, I changed my prayer to, Lord, give me the grace to change all those who come in contact with me, just my family and friends, and I shall be satisfied. Now that I am an old man and my days are numbered, I have begun to see how foolish I have been. My one prayer now is, Lord, give me the grace to change myself. If I had prayed for this right from the start, I should not have wasted my life." It is something really true in this short story. Whatever, wherever in life we are 10, 12 years old, or we are 85, 90 years old, doesn't matter. What is important is to realize that probably we cannot change the whole world. We can't even not change people around us. But doesn't matter how old we are, we definitely can change ourselves. Today's Sunday Gospel is talking about very important change in the history of salvation, the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ, that foreshadowed the eternal glory of Jesus and his divinity. And God is eager to share this divinity with us, to share his glory with us. We get a glimpse of this when the disciples see Jesus transfigured in glory on the mountain. In this incident, Jesus appeared in glory with two people. One of them, Moses, the great lawgiver of Israel, and on the other side, Elijah, the greatest of the prophets. In the presence of these three beloved apostles, what is the significance of this appearance? Jesus went to the mountain knowing full what is awaiting him in Jerusalem. We know that they are already in this last time, last stage of Jesus' life before his death and resurrection. And he knows that in Jerusalem is betrayal, rejection, crucifixion, death. Jesus was very likely to discuss this moment of salvation of humanity with Moses and Elijah. And also, God the Father is showing his presence there with the words, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." This transfiguration of Jesus is talking too of change, which the wise man in the story at the beginning prayed for. This is telling us that we too, all of us, we need to be transfigured. And we should make a reflection more deeply of the ways of this church, how to make our lives better. We need to change for better. Maybe we need to return to our dreams, our values, our idealism, and remove all these things that throughout the life they came to us, and we are now thinking that without them we cannot survive. We know that we need change. But where to start? How to start? What we really need to do? What we need for transfiguration? What we need for transformation? What we need for this change? This reminds me about a story that I have heard about a woman in her 60s, that she was still in good shape, talking about her health, and she decided to ask God for a special request. She said, "Father, I am now 60-something years old. I am now free from all my obligations with kids, with work. I would like you to ask for at least 30 more years of life." 60-something plus 30 is 90-something. Pretty good age for her. And God responded her, "Yes, why not? I'm giving you 30 more years of life." She very happy started to prepare herself to this very important chapter of her life. The first what she did was face lifting. The second, she made her nose. The third, she changed the color of her hair. And one day, when she was going out of the beauty salon, the car hit her and she died in the moment. She presented herself at the throne of God with complaints. "Lord, you gave me 30 more years. Why I'm here already. The Lord took a second look at her and said, oh, is that you? Sorry, but I didn't recognize you. Of course, this story is maybe to laugh for a moment, but this story is also to realize what kind of change we need to do and what really start with. The first thing that we need to do is to know Jesus, to know Him alone again, and to recognize in Him our Savior. We know that at the scene of Transfiguration, there were three apostles, Peter, James, and John, and they knew where Jesus Christ. They presented, they were present at the moments of His miracles. They were present when He returned life to some people, when He cured some people, when He multiplied the bread for many. They knew who He is, that He is not a regular person. But also, they knew that with Jesus, it comes suffering. He already announced them that He must die, but also be restored to life for them, for our salvation. It means knowing Jesus is knowing that our life will be sometimes easy, but sometimes not. That our life will be sometimes nice, but sometimes with the cross to carry with us. And the second thing that we need to start this transformation, transfiguration of changes, we need to pray. Prayer is to put ourselves close to our Lord, to close the gap that is between us and our Lord. We should not get ahead of God to show Him our way. We many times try to ask God to change His will, that our will can be fulfilled. But we need to fulfill His will. Maybe sometimes when we pray to Him, when we talk to Him, we are talking about only the sad things, the bad things that happen to us, the things that we are missing. Why not to talk to Him about our successes, the beautiful things that happen to us? We need to be close to Him in every aspect of our life through prayer. Through transfiguration, we receive a new vision in our lives. Just like the apostles from our gospel today, we could now reevaluate our commitment because we receive a new motivation. The Lord wants to reveal His glory to us because we are His beloved daughters and sons, His beloved disciples. Do we seek His presence with our faith, with our reverence, with our prayer? It is still time.